A very good morning to you all and welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. Welcome to those who are worshiping here in the church house and also to those who are worshiping via Zoom, still trying to build their confidence so that they can come back into the church. We want to welcome those who are worshiping with us for the first time, if there are any, or those who are doing so after a long while. Just to remind the congregation that from next week, we will have all our children back here, at least those who are happy to come back. And so we will go back to children's addresses, birthday blessings, and all the things that we have missed during this time of pandemic. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are assembled here in God's name and presence to meet with him in our midst and in his holy word. The psalm for our call to worship is 112, the verses 1 to 9. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. He has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Let us pray. Let us approach God's throne of grace with our prayers of thanksgiving and confession of sins. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, O Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. Eternal God, you are the power behind all things, behind the energy of the storm, behind the heat of a million suns. Eternal God, you are the power behind all minds, behind the ability to think and reason, behind all understanding of the truth. Eternal God, you are the power behind the cross of Christ, behind the weakness, the torture, and the death, behind unconquerable love. Eternal God, we worship and adore you. God of light and truth, you are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of your presence, the angels veil their faces. With lowly reverence and adoring love, we acclaim your glory and sing your praise, for you have shown us your truth and love in Jesus Christ. Mighty God, we do not yet see the glory you plan for all mankind, but in faith we do see Jesus. We thank you for the humility and holiness in which he lived and died. We praise you that he freed us from our sin, that he comforts and strengthens us through our struggles, and that he gives us courage to follow him. For this we now join with all creation and shout for joy. Holy, holy, holy are you, Lord. We give thanks to you, God, our Father, for mercy that reaches out, for patience that waits our returning, for your love that is ever ready to welcome sinners. We praise you that in Jesus Christ you came to us with forgiveness, and that by your Holy Spirit you move us to repent and receive your love. Though we are sinners, you are faithful and worthy of all praise. O gracious and gentle and condescending God, God of peace, Father of mercy, God of all comfort, we confess before you the evil of our hearts. We acknowledge that we are too inclined towards anger, jealousy and revenge, to ambition and pride, which often give rise to discord and bitter feelings between others and us. Too often have we thus both offended and grieved you, O long-suffering Father. Forgive us this sin and permit us to partake of the blessing you have promised the peacemakers who shall be called the children of God. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us always to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, My Life Flows On in Endless Song.
Let us hear what the Lord has to say to us today in his holy word. Our first reading is from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, reading verses 1 to 4. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So, when you give to the needy, don't announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, Do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what's done in secret, will reward you." And our second reading is Zechariah chapter 7, reading verses 8 to 14. "And the word of the Lord came again to Zechariah. This is what the Lord Almighty said: Administer true justice. Show mercy and compassion to one another. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the foreigner or the poor. Do not plot evil against each other." But they refused to pay attention. Stubbornly, they turned their backs and covered their ears. They made their hearts as hard as flint and would not listen to the law or to the words that the Lord Almighty had sent by his Spirit through the earlier prophets. So the Lord Almighty was very angry. "When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations where they were strangers. The land they left behind them was so desolate that no one traveled through it. This is how they made the pleasant land desolate." Amen, and may God bless us in these readings of his holy word. We join again to sing the hymn, "Lord, for the years your love has kept and guided."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Heavenly King, Holy God, you know our hearts and search all our ways. Kindle us by your Spirit that we may love your holy will and dedicate ourselves to you. Show us the way to eternal life out of your word. And we pray for all who are united with us in one faith that you may give yourself to them as the bread of life. In Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. An evangelical preacher was asked what he thought had happened to biblical preaching that identifies the nature of God's church, convicts of sin, and calls sinners to repentance. His answer was that people are not interested in doctrinal preaching today. Preaching doctrine requires listeners to listen, to evaluate, to make judgment calls, to recognize false teaching, and to expose the darkness of the world by the light of the gospel. People are no longer interested in sermons that carefully exegete and expound upon the biblical text. Everyone is sick of people arguing about who is right, he says. And friends, we are interested in the externals of religion or Christianity, and so our Christianity is often hypocritical or fake, an empty shoe. The story is told of a zoo that was noted for their great collection of different animals. One day, the gorilla died, and to keep up the appearance of a full range of animals, the zookeeper hired a man to wear a gorilla suit and fill in for the dead animal. It was his first day on the job, and the man didn't know how to act like a gorilla very well. As he tried to move convincingly, he got close to the wall of the enclosure and tripped and fell into the lion exhibit. He began to scream, convinced his life was over, until the lion spoke to him, "Be quiet, or you are going to get us both fired." Sounds to me like a movie scene. Hypocrisy is make-believe, a display of something that isn't or that is not real. It is a practice of claiming to have higher standards or more noble beliefs than is the case. And friends, there are many people who make big pretense that they are Christians by observing external rituals when inwardly their spiritual lives are empty. They are disobedient to the principles and laws of God that promote human well-being and concentrate on ritual practices or outward show. Here is a warning from Zechariah to all of them. Think of the context of our text. In captivity, the Jews had instituted 4 fasts to mourn the destruction of Jerusalem. 1 fast was in the 10th month, which was the month the Babylonians laid siege to the city. 1 was in the 4th month to mark the day, 18 months later, when the Babylonians broke through the walls and invaded the city. Another was in the 5th month to mark the destruction of the temple. The other was in the 7th month to mark the murder of Gedaliah, the last Jewish ruler in Jerusalem. Now that the temple was beginning to take shape, for it had been under construction more than 2 years, a question arose in the minds of certain Jews. With the temple rebuilt, should they keep the fasts that had been instituted in Babylon as memorials of destruction? Zechariah replies that those fasts had no value in God's sight. Why? Because self-pity and not repentance towards God was what prompted the people to keep them. Furthermore, the destruction they commemorated came about only because they had been disobedient to God's prophets. Through their own stubbornness, the people were driven out of what used to be a prosperous land. So the Jews of Zechariah's day were urged not to repeat the sins of their ancestors. Rather, they should show their obedience to God in lives of active justice, love, and mercy towards their fellow people. They must avoid the temptation to exploit those who, for one reason or another, are disadvantaged. The heartless attitude of the ancestors towards the needy reflected a more deep-seated problem, their hardness of heart towards God. And because they ignored God's instruction to them through the prophets, God ignored their prayers to him when the enemy attacked. As a result, they were taken into foreign captivity. Dear friends, do you sometimes wonder why your prayers are not answered? Zechariah gives us part of the answer. When I called, they did not listen. So when they called, I would not listen, says the Lord Almighty. In the parable of the soils in Mark 4:20, Christ taught that there is only one type of heart that is truly good and fertile. That is the heart that submits to God's revelation and carries out his commands. But too often we become stubborn and hard-hearted. We shut our ears to God's revelation, not allowing the truth to penetrate our conscience. We selfishly choose to indulge our own flesh and seek after pleasure rather than sacrificially loving others and pursuing righteousness and justice. To excuse ourselves, we engage in external religious rituals, while most of the time hardening our hearts against the pleadings of the Spirit of God. Exposure to God's word means nothing apart from obedience. Dedication to God's word means nothing apart from obedience. Just think of the woes Christ proclaimed against the Pharisees, the teachers of God's law in his day. There is one thing that God demands, and that is a soft and broken heart that is sensitive to his word and committed to doing justice, to loving mercy and walking humbly before God. Our text this morning exposes the desolation and ruin that will result from hardened hearts that close their ears to God's commands and substitute religious ritual for righteous obedience. And so, my friend, we need to examine our motives in whatever we do for the Lord. Yes, we come to church every Sunday or most Sundays and put our money in the offering basket and sing hymns and say prayers and have coffee and tea when it is convenient. And so we do all these things. It's part of our worship and our fellowship. But the question is, am I doing it from pride or self-righteousness? Am I seeking status or the applause of others? Am I trying to walk off or cover up guilt for some sin, as if my activities can balance out or hide my sin? Am I trying to impress God with my activity so that he will give me something that I want from him? The only proper motive is to please and to glorify God. So let us take a spiritual health check. If you are following man-made rules and rituals that have become meaningless motions And if you are doing these things for some selfish motive, you are drifting into outward religion. It's a danger for all of us all the time. God loves and listens to people who listen and obey his commands. People who show mercy and compassion to the less fortunate of society. People who do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you plan evil in his heart against his brother or sister. Execute true justice, show mercy and compassion, and God will answer your prayers according to his will. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for reminding us again that what you desire from us is to love you and to love our neighbors. We confess for time so, Father, when we have concentrated on the externals or rituals of religion or Christianity without any inward purity. Forgive us and call us back to yourself. Renew us and remake us that we may be a better people for a better world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our next theme, for everyone born, a place at the table.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Let us dedicate our offering and let us intercede for ourselves and for others. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of life and for resources to sustain life. We bring our thanks offering to you as part of the blessings which we daily receive from you. Bless it and use it for the furtherance of your kingdom here on earth. Jesus Christ said, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Lord, we pray that you will teach us how to love ourselves. We believe that it is in loving you that true joy and peace are to be found. We believe that it is in obedience to you that we truly love ourselves, for you give us what is good. We pray that you will make this your church in this place, a place of mutual love and care, where in building one another up, we will grow to the full stature of the children of God, that we may be a people ready to meet the needs of our neighbors with selflessness, patience, understanding, and wisdom. Lord, we pray that you will teach us how to forgive ourselves. We believe in your forgiveness. Help us to accept it and to live by it, to let nothing that we do come between us and you. We pray that you will make this your church in this place, a place of forgiveness, where all find acceptance, where wounds are healed, so that we can find the resources of courage to absorb the hurt our neighbors inflict upon us and not to return it, to offer them the hope of forgiveness and new life. Lord, we pray that you will teach us how to provide well for our own lives, how to spend our money and our time in a manner worthy of your kingdom of love. We pray that you will make this your church in this place, a place of generosity, where your people give freely of all that they have in order to meet the needs of their neighbors who throughout the world are hungry, homeless, destitute, and ill. Lord, we pray for our world and for the events of our world. We remember again our brothers and sisters in Afghanistan. We pray for those whose lives have been lost. We pray for those who are suffering because of the instability in that country and the recent takeover of the country by the Taliban. We pray for those who were wounded by the bomb blasts and who are now receiving treatment in the hospitals or not. Father, stretch out your healing hand upon them. Speak peace to that land and keep safe your own people. We pray especially for Christians who may be facing persecution already. Keep them safe, O Father, and let them know your will for their lives. We thank you too for Great Britain and other European or Western countries who are doing their best to support the situation by bringing in so many people from that country to seek refuge here and elsewhere. Guide them in these decisions, that they may do what is right and pleasing in your sight, but also that will continue to keep us safe. Lord God Almighty, we pray that you will teach us to live for and to worship the goodness and truth we find in you, and so find the riches of real life in you. We pray that you will make this your church in this place, a place where love, shared worship, and deep fellowship lead to spiritual growth, so that we might be able to take your good news to our neighbors who are hungry for peace and hope and love, for life with a meaning. Lord, may we love our neighbors as ourselves with the love that you have shown us in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you are able, please kindly rise and let us together affirm our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you. A final hymn, 694. Go in peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world.